get past hurts and wounds. Now, y'all ready to get your feelings hurt? Because I love you. Oh, I love you so much. But people will say things like, I'm going to say it how they say it. They'll say, I will forgive, but I will never forget. Well, you are deceived. You are bitter. You've not forgiven. And if you let that thing lie, it might take you out early because bitterness will kill you. They'll say, I'll forgive, but I will never forget. But if you've ever said that, you are deceived. You're deceiving yourself and you're bitter. No, Pastor Josh, I'm not. This is what they say. They say, I'm just using wisdom. Oh, that's just like the devil know just enough word to twist you up and get you all tied up and wrapped up in all kinds of junk, bunk, junk, and hogwash. That's, you're not using wisdom, you're bitter. Yeah, you're bitter. Did I say that right? Bitter. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 in the NLT says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So I am supposed to forgive other people the same way that God forgives me and forgives us. So how does God forgive us? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, God says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So if I'm supposed to forgive Brown, I love you. If I'm supposed to forgive Brown the way that's really his name, y'all, I promise. The way that half the room thought I was being racist right there. Moving on. If I'm supposed to forgive Jamie the way that God forgives me, and the way God forgives me is when he forgives me, he says, your sins I'll remember no more. Then the minute I forgive Jamie, I can't remember it no more. God forgave and forgot. He not once reminded me of what he forgave me of. So when I forgive other people, it didn't happen. Move right along. It didn't even happen. And people say, well, I need to make a mental note. No, you don't. You need to renew your mind. Well, I don't need to get, this is going to hurt people. Well, I don't need to get hurt again. I need to protect my heart from getting hurt again. Well, where does that add up when Jesus said, if you get hurt on your left cheek, give them your right cheek? Jesus said, if you take my shirt, you can have my jacket, you can have my shorts, you can have my hey dudes and everything else. You can have everything. Where is all that guarding your heart, protecting yourself to keep you from getting hurt? Hurt me, baby, because at the end of the day, you answer to the Lord and I'm going to answer to the Lord too. And God's going to bless me for following the word, and hopefully you'll repent before you reap what you sow. And that ain't got nothing to do with me either. But people get all this bad doctrine of all this, well, you forgive, but you don't ever forget. Lies. Lie again. You forgive, and then you pretend that thing never happened. You move right along. Well, I'm not going to get burned again. Burn me. Burn me over and over again if you want to. You know what? Because that's what they did to Jesus. And he was perfectly fine with it. Forgiven what other people have done to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 in the NIV, it does not dishonor others, talking about love. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. In the NLT, talking about love, it says it keeps no record of being wrong. Berean Standard Bible says it keeps no account of wrongs. Contemporary English says love doesn't keep a record of the wrong that others do. I'm not keeping score. You won. Okay. I'm not keeping score. It don't matter to me. You know, they say, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. No, fool me 77 and a half times, and I don't care. It's not worth me staying awake at night. Go on, fool me a 78th time. It's okay. I'm all right. I don't care. I have forgotten about it. The minute I forgave you, it didn't happen. It moved right along. Amen? Amen? And so God's love in us forgives and forgets, and that's the way he does us. I'll never forget. I was probably 15, 16 years old, and I had sinned. I don't even remember what I did, but I had sinned. It's not your business what I did either, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember, okay? Yeah, he has a list of all my sins. But anyways, I had sinned, And I went to the Lord. I said, oh, God, I confess that sin. Cleanse me of it. You know, I'm so sorry. And a few minutes later, I was still feeling bad about it. I said, God, I'm so sorry. In the name of Jesus, forgive me. Then I got to, I was 16, because then I got in my car and I was going down the road. I said, oh, Lord, I can't believe I did that. Please forgive me. Oh, my gosh. I was on the way to prayer meeting here. I got into prayer. Couldn't even pray about, no, you're supposed to come to prayer and pray about people. Pray for people. Pray for God's house of hope and stuff. You're supposed to, that's what you're supposed to do at a prayer meeting, okay? But I get up in here, I couldn't even pray for other people because I just felt so bad. I said, oh, God, I'm so sorry. He said, for what? I said, because you know I did this, that, and the other. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, what do you mean? You're all knowing. He said, the minute you asked forgiveness the first time, I completely forgot about it and put it out of my memory. I can't find it in my mind. It's not even present in the mind of God. It's completely gone. And for me to go and pull the blood up off of that thing and repent for that thing, here's the deal. Well, I'm all about confessing your sins. 1 John 1:9, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive it. You repent, you need to confess it. You sin, confess it, repent, you're good, all right? But if every time you go to pray, think about this. This is going to mess your head up. If every time you go to pray, you start it by saying, God, I confess every sin, and you don't even know if you sinned or not, that's a sin consciousness. If every time you go to pray, it's, God, I'm sorry, and he's like, for what? And you're like, well, I don't know, but I'm sure I did something. You need to remind yourself, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Throw your shoulders back. When God looks at me, he sees Jesus. He sees the blood of Jesus. It's on me, covered me. And the thing about it is in the Old Testament, blood covered sin. Jesus' blood didn't cover my sin. It erased it. It's not even there. If I were to go and try to pull it off of it, it's not there. I couldn't find it. The blood of Jesus isn't a Band-Aid. It just takes the thing off. There's no wound there anymore. It's gone. Woo, I love the blood of Jesus. All right, I got to finish. I got excited. Y'all keep pulling me down there. If I stay up here, I get done quicker. All right, leave me alone. And so it forgives and forgets. It didn't happen. It moved right along. God don't know what you're talking about. You ought to forgive other people that way. And so if you can rehearse every detail of what somebody did to you, you're bitter. I know this for a fact. Somebody came up to me one time and about 3 or 4 months ago, they said, I am so sorry for what I said about you. I said, what are you talking about? They said, well, you know, I know it got back to you because so-and-so told me that they told you what I said to them about you. But I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, no, seriously. Yeah. I said, look, now that you've brought it up and you've worked so hard to catch it back to my memory, I vaguely remember them telling me. But when they told me, I got mad for 0.2 seconds, forgave you, and I done forgot completely about what you could have never said nothing, and I wouldn't have remembered that you said it because I don't remember it. If I say you remember what so-and-so did to you and you can tell me every detail about what, you got screenshots, you got receipts, you got evidence, and you pull it up in your folder and you got everything that they ever said, did, or thought about you, you're not walking in love or forgiveness. You're bitter. You're bitter. And you need to forget about it. You need to go on and forgive about it. And delete the screenshots. Because you'll be sitting up at night reading them. Oh, I can't believe what they said about me on January the 22nd of 1994. Oh, I can't believe it. Can you believe that they said that to me? Praise the Lord. Number 3. You forget about your past. You need to forget about past wounds and hurts. That's number 2. Number 3, you need to forget. This one's going to hurt some people. Even some good things. Now, what do I mean by that? You can't live in the glory days or the good old days. And if whatever happened 10, 15, 20, 25, 37, and 56 years ago in your mind is better than what you're living right now, you're out of the will of God. Your thought life is screwed up. If in your mind something from the past, in your life from the past, is better than the present reality that you're living right now, you're not walking in God's best. Because the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. So if you're not walking in a path that is growing brighter and brighter, something is wrong, or your perspective is wrong, your mindset is off, your mentality is warped, something's wrong. And you say, well, Pastor Josh, that's, you know, good. That's not a bad thing. That's not a hurt. That's not a wound. That's a good thing to remember. But if you've made an idol out of the glory days or the good old days to the point that it is locking you up from the present or the future, it's the same thing. Forget about it. If you were supposed to live then and die, then you would have died. God would have went ahead and took you. But if you're not dead, you're not done. And so the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. My best days are ahead of me. Actually, right now, I'm living the best life that I've ever lived in my entire life. And tomorrow's going to be better than today. And the next day's going to be better than that. And the next day's going to be better than that. If I remind you of something that happened 10 years ago and you sigh and go, oh, them were the days, you out of order. Were them the days? Was it good? Probably. It was probably good. But today's better. And tomorrow's going to be even better than that, because the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter and brighter. I ain't living in the good old days, baby. The good old days is right now. And I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about the future. So we got to forget some things from the past. Last couple of scriptures, Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19 in the NLT says, but forget all that, because it's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. I'm about to do something new. I feel the Holy Ghost. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. What if you living in the past is keeping God from doing something new in your life? What if, as a congregation, us living in the past, well, we used to have more people than we do. I don't care. Well, we used to have more anointing. No, we didn't. That's a lie. But you might think that. Well, I don't care, because I'm not letting what coulda, shoulda, woulda been back then affect my present and affect me getting into the promised land now. Joshua is my name, but I go by Josh. Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 in the Message translation says, after the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, who was Moses' assistant, and said this, I love this, said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Get going. Didn't even allot him time to grieve. Said, you got stuff to do. So what did I come this morning to say? Quit grieving your past, get going. I don't know what killed it. I don't know why it died. I don't know why they left the church. I don't know why that divorce happened. I don't understand why you feel like you lost time and all these years are gone and you're older than you used to be and all this stuff. Well, baby, that's how time happens. You know, I'm going to be older than I was today, tomorrow. I ain't looking at you. No. Looking at the ground. Looking at the ceiling. I don't know. But for whatever reason, see, here's the deal. This is what an unrenewed mind, I'm teaching good this morning. This is what an unrenewed mind does. An unrenewed mind performs a biopsy on something that died in the past. A renewed mind says, it's dead, get going. It's not my job to do an autopsy, cut it open, evaluate what the cause of death was. I don't know. I don't care. It's dead, move on. I ain't got time to sit. I believe in counselors. I got a counselor. He's actually really cool. I'm going to have him come to the church one day when y'all are ready for it, okay? But I believe in counselors. But I don't have time to sit with a therapist and discuss why my marriage ended for 20 years. My marriage didn't end. I'm using it as an example, okay? My wife is here. She's right here. Well, she's in the with our baby. Praise God. Anyways, but I don't have time to sit with a therapist and dissect why I lost that job. It's dead. Get going. I mean, I don't have time to sit and do an autopsy on everything that ever died in my life and try to figure out what went wrong. It happened. I got to move on. And I got to move forward. Because my best days are ahead. And as long as I'm trying to figure out what went wrong there, I'm forfeiting what's going right here. Hallelujah. So look at your neighbor and say, forget about it. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed.